This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine to difficult. And this is not just part of the promotion of Sunbury Motors. I am a customer and a happy one. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. So Bob from Hanover called last week, and he said, I don't know where to find the Penn State athletic financials. Now, for the university, Bob, I'd be with you. I'd be like, I don't know. Okay. So, and I told Bob, I said, to be honest with you, it's actually easy to find. They put it out, and you just go to the website, gopsusports.com, and you can navigate it and find it, and go to Equity and Athletics. So, look, I've got the 90-page report in front of me right now. Okay, so we go through the first couple of pages, including how much it costs for the restraining order against the suit. That's a different story. All right. So, for example, you've heard about contributions made to athletics, and somebody put out that's only $12 million. Well, that's not true. All right, so here are this is reported as of June 30th, 2023. Now, the numbers for 23 24 won't be available till January or February next year. Contributions. These are contributions provided and used by athletics in the reporting year, including amounts received from individuals, corporations, associations, foundations, clubs, other organizations designated for the operations of the athletic program. Okay? All right? $40,764,000. Okay. Media rights, $40,137,000. That's radio, TV, internet, digital, e-commerce rights, including the portion of the conference distributions related to the media rights, if applicable. Okay. NCAA distributions, just a little bit shy of $5 million, $4.954, and we'll break it down for you. Okay. Conference distributions, $3.255 million. Okay. That's not media, and that's not football bowl money. Okay, conference distributions of football bowl generated revenue, $7.7 million. Now, that number is going to go up with the new college football playoff contract. Okay, programs, parking, concessions, about $10.6 million. Royalties, licensing, advertisement, sponsorships, about $14.7 million. Athletics restricted endowment and investments income, about $8.9 million. Okay. And football bowl revenue input, all amounts received related to participation in a postseason bowl game. This is the team itself, $3 million. Total operating revenue, $202 million. Okay. So, how much do they pay out in athletic aid? I mean, for some reason, people don't think this number exists. Like, oh, no, I always love when I hear, well, the university doesn't get any money from athletics. Yeah, they do, as a matter of fact. Athletic student aid, $23.388 million. That includes summer school, tuition discounts and waivers, aid given to student-athletes who are inactive for medical reasons or no longer eligible, they've exhausted eligibility, other expenses related to attendance. Okay? Okay. They paid out $3.6 million in guarantees for visiting participating teams. That's football, men's basketball in particular. Coaching salaries total $38.6 million. Support staff, administrative, $39.3 million. Bonuses, zero. Severance pay, $1.6 million. Recruiting budget, $4.8 million. Team travel, they paid out $10.8 million. Equipment, uniform supplies, $5.2 million. Game expenses, other than travel, okay, which includes paying officials, security, event staff, ambulance, okay, any payments back to the NCAA for hosting a tournament, for example, $14.4 million. Fundraising, marketing, and promotion, $1.5. Sports camp expenses, zero. Spirit groups, they pay $398,000. Here's the one. Athletic facilities debt, service, leases, and rental fees. People have asked, what's the debt service? Okay, it's 17.368. Beaver Stadium's a big part of that. Okay. Let's see. Medical expenses, $2 million. Student athlete meals, $2.6 million for non-travel. Football bowl expenses were $4.49. That was for the Rose Bowl. Football bowl expenses for compensation and bonuses, about $700,000. Total operating expenses, $202 million. So they ended up on the plus side of it. Okay. So let's go ticket sales. Men's basketball, 1.76. Okay. 1,764,000 ticket sales. Football, 41,000. Okay. This is like dollars. Okay. $41,891 for football. Ice hockey, $2,159,000. Wrestling, $1,600,000. Penn State had in revenue from ticket sales, $47.547 million. Okay. If you're wondering about other sports, women's volleyball had $168,000 in ticket sales, women's basketball, $158,000. Okay. Let's see. How much money you get from the institution? None. Let's see what else we have here. Contributions I mentioned earlier totaling. Okay. They get $19 million total for the athletics, and that's distributed. And then men's teams 12.7, women's teams $7 million. What else do we have here? Okay, media rights. The media rights, $40,137,000 media rights. Football is $34,116,000. Basketball is $6 million. Like $6,020,000. $6 million. You're like, well, why is it media? Oh, wrestling's on TV. Please. When they sit down and do the contract is for football and men's basketball. That's why they're on those lines. Everybody else that gets any kind of coverage, it's a bonus. It's a bonus. It's just how that's how, the contracts are worded for football and men's basketball. That's why they're on those two lines. Don't complain about basketball getting its $6 million in media rights. Do you want them to get zero? Just be happy you have the money. Because here's the next part. $4.9 million in NCAA distributions. which includes revenue distributions, grants, NCAA championship travel reimbursements, payments received for hosting, and so forth. Guess who leads the category in NCAA in NCAA distributions? Basketball, men's basketball, $2.23 million. Nobody else is even close. The second highest total in all of this is track and field and cross country, which gets $113,000. Women's basketball gets $65,000 in NCAA distributions. That's it. Okay? Now ask yourself, okay, Todd, what do you think the number is for wrestling? This is their NCAA distribution.
$62,000.
Too high.
$48,000.
You're right there. $49,257. That's it. Okay. Conference distributions: $1.2 million men's basketball, $2 million for football, $3.2 million. Bowl distribution. This is the college football playoff, I do believe. $7.7 million. Okay. Programs, novelties. Okay. Actually, football gets about $9 million, and that's pretty good. Licensing, I don't think we need to do that. Let's see. Endowments. Endowment income is pretty good. Wrestling gets $791,000 in endowments. Football, $1.5 million. Ice hockey, $1.7 million. Okay. Men's basketball, $292. Women's basketball, $229. Women's volleyball, $293. Pretty good on the endowment revenue. Let's see. What else is here on revenue? Operating revenue. What does that mean? Any operating revenue received by athletics in which the report year in which cannot be classified. Okay. I'm not going to bother classifying it. Got $3 million for participating in the Rose Bowl. Let's see. Operating revenue, $12.6 million. Men's basketball, football, $109.6 million. Ice hockey, $4.3 million. Lacrosse, men's lacrosse, $1.062 million. Wrestling, $3.2 million. Women's basketball, $1.1 million. Field hockey, $1.2 million. Women's ice hockey, $1.3 million. Women's soccer, $1 million. Volleyball, $1.5 million.
Did you say $109 million for football?
$109,607,108.
Like, I knew it was expensive. I don't know if I'd have gone into the 100 millions.
Well, that's revenue.
Oh,
that's
revenue.
That's the revenue. That's not the expenses.
All right, revenue doesn't surprise me.
No. Okay, revenue. Okay, now you get, okay, I believe this is the expenditure part here. Number of head coaches. Okay. Here we go. This is compensation. Okay. What else do we have here? Severance pay. Couple on that line. Let's see. More expenses. Team travel. Men's basketball, $1.4 million. Women's basketball, $976,000. Football, $1.6 million. Let's see, wrestling, $466,000. Men's ice hockey, $821,000. Softball, $409,000. Women's volleyball, $696,000. Okay, equipment, and okay. That's in here. Let's see, this one is. Game expenses. Next part is fundraising, marketing. Let's $6,000 on men's basketball, $3,300 on women's basketball, $65,000 on football, ice hockey, $4,300, wrestling, $9,300, and volleyball, $3,000. Okay. That's what that happens to me. Okay. Athletic facility debt service. Okay. So, and this includes service, leases, and rental. Okay, so athletic facilities debt service along with leases and rental fees. Okay. Football is $3.4 million. Now, we all know that, okay, that's the maintenance number. Okay? Okay, men's basketball is $498,000. Why? Because every time they use the Jordan Center, they have to rent it, including their office space. I think it's like $26,000 to put the court down. Women's basketball is $146,000. Okay. Cross country's number was $53. Pretty good. I live with that. So $4.1 million on the men's side, 1.5 women, so $5.6 million. Okay, plus everything else put together. When they put everything together on all of it, it's $11.7 million debt service. That includes everything that goes into that. Overhead administrative expenses. That, and of course, that is. Imagine what ours are at the radio station. All you can do is go in the corner office and you have questions.
I think he signs everything, so I don't think you have to worry about questions.
Yes, the local FBI office has questions.
Well, okay. We haven't crossed that bridge yet.
Yeah. Men's team, student-athlete meals, $226. This is non-travels. It's training table. Football, $809. Ice hockey, $135. Wrestling, $122. Women's soccer, $64. Women's basketball, $183. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Additional operating expenses. Once all said and done. Okay. Here are the total operating expenses. Let's add it all up. Okay. Football is $62.7 million. Okay. Men's basketball, 12-1. Wrestling, 3.996. Okay. Women's volleyball, a little bit more than $3 million. Okay. Total, $97,997. Expenses for women's basketball, $5.3 million. So, in the end, when you add it all up, athletic participation, by the way, if you're wondering about that, men's teams, okay, Penn State has, with walk-ons, let's see. I wonder if some of this includes... Because I think Penn State has 833 student-athletes. So, let's make sure I've got my number, 700. See, yeah, the 833. Yeah. So it's, I think it's like a 55, 45, 54, 46 distribution, men to women. But, again, football has no equivalency. Let's see. Hope we're helping out Bob here.
I hope he brought his calculator.
No, just I think he just. I don't think so. Let's see. I think everybody always asks about, you know, how many scholarship players are there. Okay. Like, for example, wrestling is. Let's see. Men's basketball is 13. That's the limit. Football is 85. That's the limit. Golf is 4.43. Like, listen to, I mean, listen to how you have to somehow do it. 11.54 baseball, 13 men's basketball, fencing 4.5, football 85, golf 4.43, gymnastics 6.3, okay? Ice hockey 17.95, lacrosse 12.48, men's soccer 9.9, swimming and diving 9.89, tennis 4.5, cross country track and field 12.49, okay, men's volleyball 4.5, wrestling is 9.89. Okay, women's sports. Let's see, where's okay, women's sports. 15 for women's basketball, fencing 5, field hockey 11.9, golf 5.8, gymnastics as 12, women's ice hockey 17.6, lacrosse 12, women's lacrosse, women's soccer 13.99, let's see, softball 11.98, swimming and diving 14, tennis 8, scholarships. Track and field 17.74, women's volleyball 12. So if you're wondering how many each has, yeah. Pell Grants, I always talk about that. 36 for football, one for men's basketball and a Pell Grant. Wrestling has 7, track and field 11 on the men's side, 17 on the women's side. Okay, Pell Grants. So, I mean, those are the dollars that are being spent. Endowment, revenue, football bowl, they put it all into one big category here when it's all said and done. Football made a profit of $46,887,000. The only other one that made money was men's basketball. Okay? Men's basketball made money. Women's basketball lost $4.2 million. Everybody else lost $21,845,000. In the end, Penn State profit side 126. There are your numbers. So, okay. See, it's 90 pages. A long time ago, I was taught how to Google. It works. So I always love when somebody's doing an auction on a golf tournament, like to have me play with their team. They say, can you send a bio? I'm like, oh, why do I have to send a bio? Google it. You want to do this? You do it. I said yes. Thinking, why do I have to supply a bio? Not here to do your job.
Then Google it and copy and paste it yourself.
Right. Like, holy mackerel.
Give it a quick read and make sure it's right.
Sure. Okay. We'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Oh, the last half hour is coming up. Ugh. Have you prepared everybody mentally for that? You told me he's angry.
I don't know how angry he is, but I just saw his tweet that said he was wound up about Jokic and something else.
He's wound up.
You figured that the NASCAR fight would offend him a little bit or something like that, but
so no, it's another average week in NASCAR.
It's like watching pro wrestling when they do that stuff at that point. I don't believe that's
and I will watch the race this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch some of it. I'll definitely watch the Indy 500. All right. And I'll watch some of the Coca-Cola 600. I mean, it's a big race day on Sunday. I think I'm going to kick back and enjoy it.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patience. patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In this half hour, and we believe you'll need it, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. Roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Once again, we do know he is fired up, ready to go. Matt Cotrillo.
Steve Jones, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty good for a usual Tuesday, but turning into a Monday because I've got a game tomorrow. I'm just sitting outside working on a few things for my TV game tomorrow, supervising the little weed whacker, and life is good.
That's a full-time job. So, we understand that you're fired up about Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know he was just trying to be complimentary in his post-game comments last night in the loss to the Timberwolves, but I think he went a little too far as to say that the T-Wolves were built to beat them. You're the ones that came. I mean, sure, they got down 2-0 in the series, lost both games at home, but they came back and took the lead 3-2, got trounced in game 6 by 45 points. I still can't explain how that one happened. And then they blow a 20-point lead at home again in game 7. So, no, they weren't necessarily built to beat you. Sure, they took the 2-0 series lead, but you guys came back and should have won the series. You guys are the ones that won 3 straight, including 2 on the road. This is all on you, pal, and your teammates. You guys are the ones that had the chance to close them out twice and got blown out and embarrassed in Game 6 and then blew a 20-point lead at home in Game 7 last night. So it's not. This has nothing to do with them being built to beat you. It's you guys choking when it mattered most. That's plain and simple what it is. It's nothing about Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's a good team. We all thought they would be this year. But again, you were back to your championship form as a team. You had 2 chances to close them out, including with a 20-point lead early in the third quarter, and you blew it. And again, this also goes back to my point about this whole product about the NBA, where I still can't fathom that no lead, no matter how big it is safe anymore, except maybe for 45 points, is safe anymore in the NBA. The games are, I mean, maybe from watching it, if your team is down by that many, it gives you some hope that they can come back and win a game. But if I'm on the opposite side, and I think this is more of the case, I should expect a team who's up 10, 15, 20, 25, even 30, we've seen the Celtics blow this year. I should expect you to hold that lead. I don't care what point of the game it is, because as you and I have talked before many times, Steve, if you get out to a lead like that, it takes a lot of energy for the trailing team to come back to tie the game, let alone take the lead, and then sustain itself. We've seen so many blown big leads in the NBA this year. I mean, it is downright embarrassing, and that just adds to the product that I don't think is great right now for the league in general.
Well, I mean, a couple things. When he talks about they're built to beat us, he's talking about the composition of the team they played. In other words, a Rudy Gobert, they bring him in because they want a defender to match up inside. A guy like Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony and Edwards, okay, that's a tough guard matchup there, with especially with Edwards. A guy like Naz Reid, he was just talking about the composition of personnel, that the personnel that they have matches up really well with Denver. That's when you talk about why a team is built to beat you. I mean, they were very, let's give Minnesota credit. They made a couple of moves to counter what Denver was doing or how Denver is, and those guys, to their credit, executed, played well. As for blowing leads, it's easy these days to blow leads when a team shoots. And look at the Indiana Knicks game yesterday. Indiana shot the lights out. I mean, the Knicks didn't play well, but Indiana shot the lights out. And in the NBA, if you're hitting shots, that's the whole name. I mean, sometimes, they need to do this and this and this. If a team's hitting shots, what can you do? And if you're hitting shots, you're playing great. So it's like, what happens when teams blow leads is they stop hitting shots. And I think the Nuggets scored 14 points in the third quarter. So they weren't scoring, and Minnesota started hitting shots. Indiana hit shots all day. So it's something that sometimes, as much as we want to sit here and go through extensive two-hour breakdown analysis of what happened, sometimes in basketball, it's just as simple as hitting shots.
Well, that's definitely true, and you're right. It was 28-14 in that third quarter last night, just from looking at the box score. And while that's true that if people hit shots, especially, those tough shots from that we see all the time, whether it's beyond the arc or in the paint or whatever, yeah, I get that. But I just also have seen, just in general, I don't know if it was more so last night, but just in general this year, where teams just don't know how to play defense anymore in the NBA, or just don't give that effort to play defense anymore unless, like, you're basically in the finals.
Well,
that's just my observation.
Part of it is, there's another part of it, too, that allows a team to come back. You have the lead, and you develop a mentality of, instead of taking it possession by possession, some of these teams will just start throwing up shots. And you're like, what are you doing? Hey, don't waste
the
possession.
Yeah, that's a great point. They just throw it around waiting for the clock to hit zero instead of trying to play out the rest of the game. You're absolutely right.
And I think that's a big part of this. I mean, a big part of this is that one team will hit shots. The other team will not. I mean, they'll just start throwing up shots. They're just bad shots because they think they've already got it won, and you can't flip the switch.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Absolutely. I just thought circling back to Jokic, I just thought he went a little over the top with that last night, but I understand. I still like him as a player. I still like him as a person. I like that when teams or when players, especially star players that lose, do compliment their opponent as well as Jokic does. I just thought he went a little over the top, considering that his team came back, was up 3-2, had a chance to close him out twice and didn't. Had they lost, had they gotten swept, had they lost in five games, had they even lost in six games, but they really never had control of the series, then yeah, I think that would be appropriate to say. But the fact of the matter is that they put themselves back in the driver's seat. We're looking like the team of last year all of a sudden. And then they just get embarrassed in a game six, and then they blow the big lead the way they do at home. I just don't think that was the appropriate time to go that far in complimenting the opponent.
I just think he was talking about the matchups. I mean, in other words, team A can beat team B, B can beat C, then you assume that A can beat C, and it turns out C beats A. Why? Matchups. And I think he was just complimenting the matchups that Minnesota put on the floor. I think that, if I'm guessing, that's probably what he was talking about.
So there's that. And then the other part is I wanted to throw in my two cents of what happened with Scotty Scheffler over the weekend. Now, granted, that is one of the more bizarre things I think anybody's going to ever see, especially for me. And there's still a whole heck of a lot we have to find out. But my number one takeaway about this is, I know there's a lot of outrage of why he was arrested in the first place, but I guess the fact of the matter is, I guess it's 5 a.m., you know, it's not, the sidelines didn't look great from what I've seen, and it looked like I've covered my fair share of breaking news, and that whole emergency scene didn't seem very organized to me, as scenes that I've covered in the past, and so it is kind of hard to tell who looks like an actual police officer, who looks like a security guard for the golf course. But the fact of the matter is, he's coming down, you do see that there's some sort of a police or security presence. Maybe it's just me, but common sense tells you should probably stop first and figure out what's going on before proceeding. But that's just me. But like I said, there's a whole lot to figure out here with this, and I'm sure, and I think, that there's fault on both sides, but I think there's just some common sense that has to be learned here, is if you come to an emergency scene, you got to stop, or at least slow down and see what's going on.
Yeah, but where was he taken in? Right at the gate, the entrance to the golf club. That's where it happened, was at the entrance. The ESPN courtesy car was right next to them with Bob Wischusen and everybody else in it coming in for the broadcast center. They were in the car right next to his. And they say what happened is what they said is, whomever the officer was, they said when they were looking at him, it looked like he just fell down. All right. And then it was like, I mean, and they all received direction about where to go to get into the club. And ESPN's car went right into the club, no problem. The whole thing's strange. I think there's what will happen on June 3rd, because they're not going to, there will be no arraignment tomorrow or no preliminary hearing tomorrow. It's moved back to June 3rd. The charges are going to be dropped in this case.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any doubt and wouldn't be surprised at all. And I do think, regardless of how this ends, whoever was there at the scene definitely needs to be held accountable, because regardless of the fact of who should have been doing what, I mean, that's pretty embarrassing that it came down to it. I mean, you know that you got a major championship coming to your area. I mean, those are things. I get it, you don't expect anybody to be fatally hit right by a golf cart or a car or whatever, you know, at 5 in the morning. But you still have to have your preparedness, emergency preparedness plans intact. They just look like that whole area just got caught with their pants down.
Yeah, and of course the tragedy, of course, is the death of the individual who just loved, from what we understand, loved the game of golf and just loved the
family. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's what it comes down to. I think in the end with this, I mean, the charges are going to be dropped because, look, there are a lot of people that don't look good in all this, right? And at the police station, I guess when he got there, they were like,
Yeah, that's not good either. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, there's no question that whoever was in charge of that emergency scene definitely needs to be held accountable, because that's embarrassing one way or the other.
I mean, in the end, here's the other part, too. There's no body cam footage.
Yes, exactly right. I mean, in today's day and age, I mean, we know what's gone on, let's say, since 2020. I mean, that's one of the most important things a security or police officer has to have now. And you don't have that on? Come on, man.
Well, the suit actually requests no body cam footage just to get through life.
Oh, you know what? That's a different topic. That's a whole nother can of worms and everything else.
And in the end, is there anything else that you look at and say, oh, Your Yankees are playing pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. They can't catch those Phillies. They need the Phillies to lose a game or two so my Yankees can keep up with them. But now they're a game behind them. So, yeah, nothing really to complain about the baseball front. As I've said before, you know me, I was not a big proponent of the Yankees bringing in Juan Soto, but I am happily eating my words. I have been pleasantly surprised and happy to see the start he's been on. Hopefully he can sustain it there. I'm been amazed that the Yankees' pitching has gotten better. I didn't see that coming at all, and it's from guys I didn't even think would be the case. So, yeah, this is a nice start for the Pinstripes.
Absolutely, because, I mean, it's not October yet. All right, so, I mean, when the leaves fall, so do the Yankees. So, there we go. No?
Hey, that's true. That's absolutely true.
Wrong analogy? No?
No, not in this case. You're right.
I mean, Todd.
Sadly, you're right, but you're right.
I'll say this about the Yankees, and I don't think I mentioned it on this show, but you know, people complain at times about how much the Yankees spend, right? Same thing with the Dodgers. But you know, I brought this up last week in general about because we're going to talk tomorrow about Beaver Stadium. You spend to your expectations. What are your expectations? The Pittsburgh Pirates tell their fans every single day what their expectations are. Right? Everybody knows
Correct.
What they spend. They tell everybody every day what their expectations are. I give the Yankees brass credit. They may not spend it intelligently at times. Right? Because they have... No. You know what I mean. In other words... There's certain guys you're like going, really? And other guys are like going, hey, he's a bargain. Like DJ LeMahieu was a bargain, right?
I mean, look at the guys that are contributing now. I mean, yeah, Hill, right. Volpe, those are all homegrown guys.
Right, homegrown guys. But the Yankees have spent, their expectation is to win it all. They spend like that. The Dodgers' expectation is to win it all. They spend like that. And what turned the Texas Rangers around? They made some free agent signings. And they turn themselves into world champions.
Yeah, listen, I've always been a proponent that there needs to be a salary cap in Major League Baseball, but in this case, you're absolutely right. I mean, you compare the Pirates to the teams like the Yankees, the Phillies, the Angels, the Dodgers. Exactly right. If you spend money and you spend it wisely most of the time, you're going to find yourself in contention. And when you look at all the teams right now with the best records in baseball, I mentioned three of those teams right there. Your top three teams in baseball right now, the exception, or top four teams right now in baseball, with the exception of the O's, who are, again, a proponent of having a good farm system, I would say, more than signing guys. But you look at it, Phillies 1, Yankees 2, Dodgers 3. There it is.
Except we don't. Our expectation is still great stuff. We just don't pay you for the segment.
Well, I always expect it for myself too to be great and to make sure that I'm representing the everyday sports fan as well as I can. And I don't take those expectations lightly, Steve Jones.
There is nothing like what you refer to as the common man. The backbone of everything that we do. I believe the suit refers to them as the great unwashed, but I mean, I don't understand where he's coming from. I don't get it. Where did that term come from? What does
That's
that
why you leave it to me and leave the suit to what he's got to do in the corner office.
He's not in today. At least Todd can't find him.
Yeah, is he taking the whole week off getting ready? It is race week after all, so...
I believe he's back Thursday.
Yeah. Ah, okay. All right. So he's taking the week to gear up and then come back, get a couple days work in, and then the party really gets going this weekend.
It's Memorial Day weekend.
He's pacing himself.
What is he going to sell Memorial Day weekend? Like, okay. You close?
Also a valid point.
I'm telling you, this is a racket he's got going. All right. Have a great week. Have a great broadcast tomorrow, okay, bud?
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Sounds great. He's back on Thursday. And you know what? You know he's going to complain to you? He's exhausted from the time he had off. Where do we find these people? I ask you. Todd, great show. Enjoyed it. We got a lot tomorrow. We got Scott Fransky tomorrow.
Fransky and Mark Roganich.
Mark Wogenrich and Neil Kulong.
That's right.
Scott at 109 out of the gate, talking about those Phillies. Neil at 205 and Mark Wogenrich about the Beaver Stadium vote, which I think is 10 or 10:30 tomorrow morning, and then we'll talk to him about that after that. All right. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you. See everybody tomorrow.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.